Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for today, Jesus asks his apostles, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" Now, in some ways, one could say that Jesus, in some ways, is conducting a popular opinion poll. Based upon his teaching, his preaching, the miracles that he's performed, he wants to know, it seems, if the people have formed an opinion of him or an impression of him. It's interesting to note exactly where they are. At the very beginning of the Gospel passage, it says, "Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, 'Who do the people say the Son of Man is?'" Now, Caesarea Philippi, this is Gentile territory. This is an odd question to ask, that Jesus is concerned about the opinion the Gentiles have of him. You know, if there's any people that Jesus would be concerned about their opinion of him, it would be the Jews. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the long-awaited Messiah that the Jewish people have been praying and longing for centuries on end. So you would think he would pose this question while he and his apostles are in Jewish territory, but he doesn't. Instead, he waits for them to get into Gentile territory. So what are we to make of this? Well, Jesus doesn't care about what people think of him. He doesn't care about their opinions of him. Never cared from the very beginning of his ministry to the very end. But notice, all the opinions that these people have are dead wrong. It says, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." They're not even close to identifying Jesus' true identity. Then it says, Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Now we can only imagine the dead silence that has been created here. None of the apostles answer up. Therefore, we can only assume that the vast majority of the apostles are not sure themselves who Jesus really is, except for Peter. It says, "Peter said in reply, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Now, how is it that Peter understands? He gets it. He understands Jesus' identity when all of the other apostles don't. They don't get it. Is Peter the holiest of all the apostles? Hardly. Remember just a few weeks ago, the story in the Gospel. Peter is walking on the water. He begins to sink because of his lack of faith. Jesus grabs him, preventing him from being drowned, and then says to him, "O ye of little faith." How about the time of Jesus' greatest hour of need in the garden, or when he's being questioned by the Sanhedrin? It is Peter who denies him 3 times. Well, maybe Peter is the smartest. Maybe that's the reason why he was able to understand Jesus' identity apart from the other apostles. Maybe he is the smartest. Hardly. Peter is illiterate. He can't read or write. In fact, he used secretaries to help him understand or read letters that were written to him and write letters to other people. In fact, Mark, the author of the Gospel, he was designated as Peter's interpreter. In fact, Mark and Peter, at the time the Gospel of Mark was written, were both in Rome. In fact, many scripture scholars believe now that Peter dictated the vast majority of the Gospel of Mark to Mark prior to Peter's martyrdom. So how is it that Peter now understands Jesus' correct identity? Well, Jesus says to Peter, "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit given to him by the Father, Peter now sees Jesus' correct identity. He sees that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, this is crucial for all of us to understand. This is very, very important. Our church, our traditions, our doctrine, dogma, all of that does not rest upon popular opinion polls. If it did, it would change on a daily basis. Worse yet, if it did, well, then everything that we teach and everything that we believe is dead wrong. Just like those people, you know, when asked who Jesus was, they all thought he was Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the prophets. They were all dead wrong. Well, so too would we be if we relied upon popular opinion polls to shape our faith and belief. Instead, our tradition, our sacraments, our doctrine, dogma, all of it rests upon the fact that it is given to us by Christ, and that our understanding has evolved throughout the centuries due to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit given to us by God the Father. Notice, the story continues. Notice how Jesus now addresses Peter after his great confession. He says, "Simon, son of Jonah." Son of Jonah. Well, Peter's father is not named Jonah. In fact, Jonah is a very unusual name in Hebrew for any person during the time of Christ. So why? Why does he use that word, Jonah? Well, Jonah in Hebrew means dove. Here, Jesus is trying to point to the relationship of Peter and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that confirmed publicly Jesus' identity as the Son of God at the time of his baptism, descending upon him in the form of a dove, is now the same Holy Spirit that has inspired Peter to confess that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. And see, Peter could not reach this conclusion by himself. And yet, what's the temptation for us to do just that? For us to use only our flesh and blood, our own self, to see the revelation of God in this world or in our life. Now, why is this a bad thing? Well, first and foremost, we are finite creatures. You know, there's only so much that we can take in. We have limitations and weaknesses. Worse yet, God doesn't reveal himself on our terms when we want to, how we want, or when we want. See, it's a basic biblical theme or basic biblical truth that God reveals himself on his own terms, when he wants to and how he wants to. In fact, the way God reveals himself is always different for each specific person. I'll give you some examples. God reveals himself in the form of a burning bush to Moses on top of Mount Sinai. God reveals himself as a tiny whisper to Elijah, who's hiding in the cave on Mount Carmel. God reveals himself as a voice calling out in the middle of the night to Samuel, who's sleeping in the temple. God reveals himself as a sharp bolt of lightning that knocks Saul down from his horse as he travels to Damascus. God reveals himself many times in the least expected times or ways. What's the key? To be properly disposed to see and receive God's revelation. We must always be open to it. Open your intellect and your will. Open your heart, your mind, and your soul through prayer, through the sacraments, through the study of Scripture, through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. These are all ways in which we keep ourselves open to God's revelation in our life. Go back to the story of the Magi. Before the Magi see the Star of David, what are they doing night after night? They're looking into the sky. They're scanning. They're analyzing it. They're trying to see and look for the special star that will lead them to the promised Messiah. Well, Peter is doing the same thing. Throughout his time with Jesus, he's praying, he's listening, and he's being taught by Christ. And during that whole time, Peter is surrendering himself to God. And it's in that act of surrendering himself to God that the Holy Spirit has now inspired him through the power of God the Father, such that now he comes to the truth of who Jesus truly is. You see, Peter in many different ways represents all of us. Peter represents all of Christianity. Yes, there are moments in which we have doubts in our faith, but there are also those great moments of revelation in which we see God with clarity, in which we actually have that moment of clarity, in which we suddenly get it. We understand God. We understand the teachings of His church with all clarity. See, what we have to do is follow the example of St. Peter, surrender ourselves to God, surrender our will and our intellect, surrender our heart, mind, and our soul. See, when we do that, then like Peter, the Holy Spirit will inspire us through the power of God the Father so that we can come to know Jesus Christ in a greater way and grow in our love for Him. One last thought. Here in this gospel story, we have the Holy Trinity revealing itself for us. Now, throughout sacred scripture, the Holy Trinity seldom reveals itself to us, such that when it does happen, we have to stop, take notice, and appreciate it for what it is. Here we have Jesus with His apostles, and He tells Peter that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God the Father, he has now come to know Jesus' true identity. And see, this is beautiful. We see all three persons of the Holy Trinity working in tandem, working in cooperation with each other, as they always do, for the express purpose of inspiring faith, and in this case, the faith of Peter. Strongly encourage you, take some time this week. Reread this gospel story. Put yourself in the place of Peter, and then surrender. Surrender your will and your intellect. Surrender your heart, your mind, and your soul to God. And then God, the Father, will send the Holy Spirit. And through that inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you will come to see Jesus Christ in your life in a greater way. And in doing so, you'll grow in a greater knowledge and love of Christ. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit will be working in and through you, just like Peter, working in tandem for the express purpose of increasing and inspiring your faith. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.